Well, it's been great to be back at Hillside again. I think the last time I was here was 2007. And I feel like the Lone Ranger. You know, I come and speak in a service like this, and I ride off for another 6 years, and then I come back again eventually. But that's just the way things are, and there's a sad part about that, of course, not seeing very much of you. We really highly esteem the partnership we've had with your church for over 30 years now in taking the gospel to Hong Kong and to Southeast Asia. I just want to give a very quick report, almost two sentences. The work in Hong Kong is going very, very well. And the way I would describe that is if something happened tomorrow night when I get on the plane to go back to Hong Kong and the plane crashes into the sea and no one ever hears from me again, the work will go on in Hong Kong. And I just praise God. And it shows us that it's, you know, things don't depend on the missionaries and even the local workers there, but ultimately things depend on God. And as we've sung some songs today about that very subject, my heart has really been touched, because in the end, it's all about Him, isn't it? It's all about Jesus and what He is doing, not so much about me and other people, but it's really about Him. And if you, after hearing me today, would like to remember me, I do have something that'll help you remember me, and this is a prayer card. Some of you have asked, where is Peggy? Well, Peggy went back to Hong Kong 10 days ago, and she's doing fine there. But we have our prayer card here, and you can take that home and or take it to work, put it on your desk at work, put it on your refrigerator at home, and that'll remind you to pray for us. And also, there's a sheet out there if you'd like to receive our quarterly message that we send out. I'd be delighted to send that to you as well if you just write your name on the left and your email address or your mailing address on the right. I'll send you the letter through the mail if necessary. Wow. As I look back on my life, and what I want to share with you now is the first 30 years of my life. I think what it comes right down to over and over again is the grace and mercy of God. There were four times in my life where God spoke to my heart in a very special way. I did not hear an audible voice. I did not see writing in the clouds or anything like that. But it was unmistakable, these four times that God worked in my life in a very special way. And, you know, through the years, He's answered prayer and done many things. But what I'm talking about today are things that changed the direction of my life and caused me to go in a different direction that I might otherwise have gone. And that is what I want to share with you today, the calls of God. Now, there are four calls of God that I've experienced. The first was a call to salvation, and I experienced that when I was 9 years old in a Sunday school class. The second is the call to discipleship, and I experienced that when I was 17 years old. The third is the call to service. Now, all believers, of course, have been given a spiritual gift, and we have been given the ability to serve the Lord with that gift. But what I'm talking about here is being called to full-time Christian service, and I'll describe how God did that. And then, finally, the call to location, the place that God chose for us to serve, which is far away from here. About 7,000 miles. Now, you may wonder how God took a boy from the Bay Area and caused him to go to Hong Kong. Quite a jump. And this is what I'm sharing with today. And again, as you're going to see, I'm going to talk more about my weaknesses and failures today as a person than about my successes. And if anything positive has happened, it is all because of God. Let's begin with the call to salvation. God calls all people to salvation. He invites all people to come to Him. But in order for someone to come to Him, God must work in that person's heart in a special way, cause them to see their sin, cause them to see their need of a Savior, and to show them that Jesus is the Savior and they need to depend upon Him for salvation. This is the call to salvation, where God works in a person's heart in a special way. And probably most of us here have experienced that. Maybe some have not yet. But if God wants to save you, He will. And He will find you out. You can count on that. The verse that talks about this is Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Let's read it together, please. We can read it right up on the screen there. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. I grew up in Hayward, California, until eighth grade. I was born in a hospital in Oakland called Providence Hospital, and my parents took me to their small home in Hayward, which is not too far from A Street at that time. I grew up with parents who had professed Christ as their Savior when they were young. They met in a church youth group in Oakland, California, and they got married at that church. But after Mom and Dad got married, the pastor left, and they got involved in many things, especially their work. Both of them worked at that time. And so when the pastor left, the pastor they loved, they just stopped going to church. And so for the first 7 years of my life, I never went to Sunday school. I never went to church. And I was just living my life. To me, you know, Sunday was a day of rest, and that meant not going anywhere or maybe going out for a drive or something like that, but we never darkened the door of a church all those years. How many grandmothers do we have here this morning? Grandmothers? Okay, we got a few. That's great. Well, the person that God used to enable me to hear the call to salvation was my grandmother, my mother's mother. My mother, during World War II, came to Oakland to work from Arkansas. And so her mother lived in Arkansas. And one of the delights of our childhood was for our grandmother to come out and visit us. Back in those days, people usually didn't fly in airplanes. She came out on a Peerless bus. I remember going to the bus station a number of times. She would be on that bus for 3 or 4 days, traveling across country, and we'd meet her there. And we loved having her come. She would come for 1 or 2 months when she came, and it was just a great time because we really sensed that she loved us very much. My grandmother was a very dedicated Christian, and she raised my mom that way. But when she observed our home at that time, and I remember she came when I was 7 years old, one day she took my mom aside privately and said, "Doris, you know, I don't want to criticize you or your husband. You know, you're adults now and you should live your own lives. But I just want to say one thing. I think it's a crime that these 3 children of yours are not going to Sunday school." That's all my grandmother said. I'm sure she was praying all this time, but that's all she said. And my mother came under conviction. I think she knew the Lord from before that, and she knew what was right. And so she approached my father. And my dad was busy in his work. Sunday was the day he sort of collapsed, you know, from his work week. And she came to him and said, "Ron, would it be all right if our children go to Sunday school? There's a Baptist church over there, and it'd be very easy for them to go, 9:30 Sunday morning. Could they go?" And my dad said, "Sure, they can go to Sunday school, and I'll even drive them there." And so at 7 years old, I started to go to Sunday school, and I really enjoyed it. I had a good memory, so I enjoyed memory verses. I enjoyed Bible stories, and I really, you know, got excited every summer when we had DVBS, Daily Vacation Bible School. Back in those days, we had it for 2 weeks, and it was just fantastic. And I was so excited about memorizing verses. I usually won the contest each year. But there was a big problem in my life. The problem was I didn't see my need of having Jesus Christ as my Savior. I would learn these Bible stories, and I'd say, "Yeah, Jesus is a good example. But I don't really need him for anything. I'll try to learn some good moral lessons from his life, but I don't really need him as my Savior." And every week, our Sunday school teachers very faithfully shared the gospel with us, and they would, you know, they would always say, you know, "We're all sinners." And when they said that, I would think, yeah, these guys around me are all sinners. They goof around all the time, and they need Jesus, and I hope they get Jesus as their Savior, but I don't need Jesus myself. You see, I was just like a little Pharisee. I was proud. I was self-righteous. And I was a good boy in school. I was usually the teacher's pet. And I didn't really need Jesus. Then when I was in fifth grade, I was 9 years old, a Sunday school teacher named Mr. Norman Brunton shared a verse of scripture with me that caused me to finally see the need of salvation in my own life. And that verse was Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, which says, "All our righteousness is as filthy rags." That is the verse that the Lord used to convict me of sin. I already believed the Bible stories. I already believed that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. I believed that he rose again. I believed all that. But it was on that day that I realized that I was a sinner, that even the good things that I did were like filthy rags to God. That is when I knew that I needed Jesus. And that day I remained behind in Sunday school, and Mr. Brunton led me to Christ. After that, I continued to go to Sunday school. My mom started going to church again. My dad would come on Easter and Christmas. And we lived like that, you know. And back in those days, we didn't have junior church or children's church. So I would just stay with mom in church, and I enjoyed the singing part usually. And I would often go to sleep during the sermon, which I didn't understand very well. But that is what I did. The sad thing was, though, is that I didn't go beyond receiving the call to salvation. I received that call in 1961 in Hayward, California. But it was never impressed upon me, or at least I didn't understand. Maybe it was, and I just didn't accepted that I needed to become Jesus' follower, that I needed to become his disciple, because this is the only way to have blessing in my life. From age 9 to age 17, I lived the life of a chameleon. You know what a chameleon is, right? The lizard that changes its colors. And when I was at church, everybody was happy with me. I was a good little boy. I didn't get in trouble, and I seemed to listen to Sunday school lessons and all that. But during the week, when I went to my public school there in Hayward, and later we moved to Walnut Creek area, the Alamo, I really, you know, acted totally differently than I did at home, than I did at church. I had friends, and they were all non-Christians. And those guys never knew that I was a Christian. They never knew that I went to church on Sunday. When they used bad language, I would use bad language. When they told dirty stories, or back then we told a lot of ethnic stories and jokes, I would repeat that and think they were very funny. And I just lived like that, you know. When I was with them, I was one color. When I was at church, I was another color. And life went on like that for 8 years. I was always worried that maybe I really wasn't a believer. And I was thinking maybe the Lord would come back and I might be left alone. I remember one time we were still living in Hayward. I went home from school, and Mom wasn't home, and she was always home waiting for me. But the door was all locked up. No one was home. So I went next door to the neighbor's house, and I asked to use her phone, and I called her friend, who was I knew was a Christian, and she wasn't home. And I started to really get worried. Then I knew the phone number of our church, so I called the pastor. No answer. And so I said, man, I've really bit it this time. The rapture's taken place, and I've been left behind. And I really was scared for about 2 hours. And I went into my backyard. It's about the only place I knew to go. And I got on my knees and say, oh, God, you know, what's going to happen? And then my mom came home, and everything was okay. But it sort of showed me that because I really wasn't living for God, I really didn't have much assurance that I was really saved. What changed my life? Church didn't really help me those years. What helped me was changing schools. I was, by that time, we had moved to Alamo. I was going to Monta Vista High School, just finished 10th grade. My parents became concerned because at that time, Monta Vista was going in a very progressive, liberal direction. The assistant librarian was giving marijuana to some of the students who wanted it. And things were a little bit crazy there. They were afraid that someone, this is back in the hippie days, you know, and they were afraid that someone was going to slip LSD into my Coke or something. And so this became a great concern. And so my mom and dad decided that I needed to change schools. And they suggested I go to the Walnut Creek Christian Academy High School, which was what Berean was before they became Berean. And the campus at that time, grades K to 12, was there in Walnut Creek at First Baptist Church. It was there I met Dennis Ward, who was sitting back in the corner back there. And Dennis and I became friends. We had, I think, five of us who hung around together a lot. And my life began to change. Because before, I would read the Bible on Sunday when I was at church. The rest of the week, the Bible was a closed book. When I was at the academy, I prayed with the class and with the teachers several times a day. Before, I had only prayed during the week if I was in trouble or something like that. And things began to change for me. And I began to see, hey, salvation has a purpose. And I began to understand that if you're saved, you need to give your life back to God and become his servant and act like a servant. This is called discipleship. If we could change the slide, Regina. Thank you. Oh, you got it already. Let's read that verse that's on the screen, Romans chapter 1, verse 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. During my first year at the academy, we had revival services that were led by an evangelist named Lee Webb. And Lee shared this verse with me. Romans chapter 1, verse 2. Shared this verse with us. And he challenged us to give our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. That day I became very remorseful. Because I really did see my need of believing in Jesus Christ when I was 9. But I had wasted about 8 years not living for him. Again, my story is a lot about failure, a lot about weakness. But on that day, I gave my life. And I told God, God, from now on, I want to be your servant. I need to learn how. But I want to be your servant. And I gave myself as a living sacrifice. It was then that life really began to change for me. I began to learn that I needed to love Jesus more than anyone else, including my family. I needed to also love him more than anything. And I had a lot of things because my dad was very successful in his business. We lived on Round Hill Country Club. Whenever I wanted, I could go into the backyard and step out onto the 11th fairway back in those days, and I could play. After I got my homework done, I could play 6 holes before having dinner. And my dad bought for me a beautiful car when I was 17. Brand new car, and you know, everything that a young guy could want, I had. But at the same time, I was beginning to see that these things really don't amount to much. And I began to learn that I needed to follow Jesus and identify with him. The friends that I had had before, a lot of them dropped by the wayside. Dennis has always been a good friend, and I had some others as well, which I'm thankful for. But God continued to work in my life. And when I was 18, there was one thing that I had not given over to him, and that was my ambition. I wanted a career, as your pastor did, in law. And I wanted to become a lawyer. And probably the main reason for that is my dad had always said, you should become a lawyer. And so after graduating from the academy, I went to St. Mary's College for 1 year. And I joined the pre-legal program there. I did well in school. There was no problem there. And things were right on track for me to graduate from St. Mary's someday and go to law school. And that may have been a good thing for many people, but it wasn't what God had for me. And this brings us to the third call, and that is the call to service. I remember that year, I was on the debating team at St. Mary's, and we were debating a very interesting issue that year. It was, should the United States federal government share tax revenue with the state and local governments? I say that sarcastically because I was totally bored with the subject. And I had to learn both sides of the arguments, which really bored me. And I began to think, you know, what is important in life? Well, what is important is the issues of life and death. Where are people going to spend eternity? And God really worked in my life and caused me to see that even though the path to becoming a lawyer was an honorable path, it wasn't what he wanted me to do. And one Sunday night, we had a church service in our church in Danville. Our pastor spoke, and my response that night was to go forward. Actually, I was 18 years old, and say, Lord, I'm willing to give my ambitions to you, and I want to serve you, if it be your will, with all my life. That was a very big moment for me that night, and the pastor was so happy. He said, David, I've been praying for you for years, and I'm just so delighted this has happened. And my pastor was a man who believed in the call of God and the spiritual unction of the Holy Spirit. And he said, now that God has called you, David, I'm ready for you to preach. Next Sunday, I want you to preach the morning service. And I said, wow. I really didn't like public speaking very much. I wasn't very good at it, and still am not. But I said, well, Pastor, if you think I can do it, I want to trust God, and I'll do it. And it was the worst week of my life because I was scared to death that I was going to have to get up before the church people on Sunday and preach. And somehow I was able to get up there and speak. And I told them everything I knew about the Bible in about 5 minutes. And they, unlike you, all delightfully went home early for their lunches. And that was that. And I realized that I needed to go to school and learn more about the Bible. And so, I'll never forget going to my dad. My dad was the one who wanted me to be a lawyer. I was still at St. Mary's, and I said to my dad, Dad, I got something to tell you, very important. I want to leave St. Mary's, and I want to go to Western Baptist Bible College. My dad looked at me. He really loved me. I was his only son. He said, Dave, if you do that, you're throwing away your life. You could amount to a lot more, and you could maybe be successful and prosperous. Why do you want to throw away your life and be a pastor and not make any money and be poor all your life? I want you to think about it some more, please. which I did for 2 more months. I continued to pray. The conviction in my heart grew even stronger during that time that I should leave St. Mary's and go to Western, which is now Corbin University. And in March, it was 1970, I went to my dad again. And he said, "You're really serious about this, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." And then he said, "Well," with tears forming in his eyes, "I've always said that I want you to do what you think you should do. And so if you want to go to that Bible college, you can." And not only that, even though I totally disagree with what you're doing, I'll even support you until you finish, which really took a big financial concern off my mind. You know, my dad was really touched in later years of his life, especially through the ministry of Tom Younger at the First Baptist Church. And he came back to the Lord and was going to church with Mom. Still had some rough edges, but as we all do. But what I remember about my dad in his later days is him sitting in the family room in his easy chair with his Bible right there on his stand. And I know he read the Bible every day. And God really worked in his life too, in later years especially. And so I went off to Western, spent 3 wonderful years learning the Bible. As I think of those 3 years, it was really a time of character development for me and spiritual growth as I became more familiar with the Word of God and studied it extensively, had time to, in a very deep way. The most important event of my life was meeting Peggy there. And we started dating in our junior year, got engaged the beginning of our senior year, and we got married 2 days after graduation. From there, we went down to Dallas Seminary, and I studied 4 years there and graduated. And then we came back here to the Bay Area in 1977. And Grace Baptist Church, which is located in Martinez, called me to be their youth pastor. And at that time, what was called Regular Baptist High called me to come and teach part-time for them. And that is where I met your pastor. He was a freshman student when I met him at what later became Berean Christian High School. And I always delighted in him. He was one of the students who gave me no trouble. He was very serious about God and the Word of God very early in his life. At least that's the image I had of him. I put up with so much those 3 years, but your pastor was not the cause of it at all. And he was always a delight. And anyway, those 3 years went great. And I think it was there, those 3 years, that I learned how to teach the Bible, because I often had a hostile audience that I faced in the classroom. I knew a lot of them didn't want to be there. They were forced to be there by their parents or something. And those were tough years for me. There were days I didn't want to get out of bed, really, but I did. And I learned what it takes to teach, especially young people. But I didn't think that this was the final solution. I knew God had called me to be his servant, but I didn't know what the location would be. And if we can go to the next slide, I didn't find this out till 1979. I started to see that God had a totally new direction for me. Now, Peggy and I, as individuals, before we got married, were committed to being missionaries. And we said, "Lord, if you want us to be a missionary, I hope you don't. But if you do, I am willing to go." I think that was how we both felt. And we got married, and you know, we continued to be committed as a couple. At least we paid lip service. If God, you know, called us to be missionaries, yes, we would say yes. In 1979, during the summer, we were living in Pittsburgh, not far from Railroad Avenue, and I received a phone call from a former classmate at Dallas Seminary. He was pastoring in a Chinese church in Oakland, California. He was Chinese from Hong Kong. And he invited me to come and speak to the church three Sundays while their English-speaking pastor was away. And I spoke at the English service there. And suddenly I started to sense a new direction for my life, because I could see God's hand upon this ministry, and it was, you know, more fruitful than I had ever had before. I was blessed to have students like David and others who I thought really responded to God very well. But I sensed with the Chinese that there was something special. And I started to wonder if God didn't have a future for me with the Chinese church. After 5 weeks of ministry there, one thing led to another, and they called me to become their associate pastor, a church in Oakland, Chinatown. And I couldn't say yes. I would have if I could have, but I wasn't free to, because I already had signed a contract to teach another year at Berean. But I really was impressed that this may be where my future would lie. And so it was soon after that that a former missionary to Hong Kong, he was retired. He also moved to Pittsburgh, was living in a mobile home park there. He and his wife invited us over for dinner and asked us to pray about going to Hong Kong, and that there was a need there not only to start new churches, but also someone to come and teach pastors, which is really has always been my passion and burden. And it seemed like just the perfect job for me. And 31 years later, I can testify to the fact that it was the right thing for me. And we've seen God work. It's been His work, not so much our work, but His work that has accomplished these things. In conclusion, I think you could tell from my story that I'm just an ordinary person with a lot of weaknesses, still have weaknesses, struggles in my life, temptations that I deal with every day. But God can lead, and God can help, and God can show the way. And if He did that for me, He will do this for you. One reason I shared my story today is so you could get to know me better as your missionary. I know many of you have never seen me before, and I wanted you to get to know me. But I also have found, as I go from church to church and share this, that my testimony resonates at different points in the spiritual journey that other people are having. And some of you today need to respond to the call of salvation. You've heard the gospel preached. You know that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and you need to recognize that you're a sinner and embrace Jesus Christ as your Savior and trust in His sacrifice for your sins on Calvary's cross. You need to do that today. That's the call to salvation. Maybe some of you have received that call already and said, "Yes, Brother Dave, I'm saved," but you're not living for God. You're not His disciple. You're just sort of, you know, living the kind of life that I live. You know, here you're nice and you have your friends here and everything, but you go outside and no one knows you're a Christian. You need to become Jesus' disciple and learn to follow Him in your daily life, not just on Sunday, but every day. All of us need to respond to these two calls. The third call, the call to service, is a special call for some, maybe not all. But it may be that God would call you to full-time service for him, to leave your job, to go to seminary, and to prepare to serve God full-time in your life. That is what God impressed upon me. And I have found that this has given great blessing to my life. I may not be rich, I may not have much, but I have the Lord, and I see his good hand upon me in so many things that I do. I have my problems too and struggles too, but I've sensed his good hand upon me and his provision for me in great ways and in small ways all through our lives. Right now, we go back to Hong Kong. We're getting booted out of our house that we lived in for 20 years. And so it's sort of a shock. I think the landlord wants to demolish the house and build a new house that'll be a much higher rent. And I remember I used to worry about things like this. But Peggy and I have learned that God is in control and he will guide us and help us. So I'm not bothered by those kinds of things anymore. I found that God always provides one way or the other. The fourth call is the call to location. It may be that God would have you continue serving here at Hillside, but it may be God would lead you somewhere else, maybe even to a different culture, a group of people you can't even imagine serving. Don't close your mind. God can do wonderful things as he did in my life. If you would have asked me when I was 9 years old that, David, someday you will be, you know, in Hong Kong working with Chinese people, you know, that would have totally blown me away, blown my mind. But step by step, God leads us and shows us his will, gives us direction. He deals with each of us in his own personal way. And as he's dealt with me, he will also help you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We know that none of us deserve it. We know that we all fall short. But as was mentioned quite a few times this morning, you are a God of love, and you deal with us not according to our sins and failures, but you deal with us according to your loving kindness and mercy. And my life is certainly a testimony to that. And I pray that you would help each person here, Lord, at whatever point in their life, the call they're listening to right now, whether it be the call to salvation, I pray that those who have not yet received that call will do so today. For those who have already believed in your Son but are struggling with issues in life because they're not really following your Son, I pray that you would help them too, Lord, to make that decision to give themselves as a living sacrifice to you, to become your servant in fact as well as profession. And then, Lord, I pray for those who you might call into ministry, full-time ministry, as you have Pastor Dave. And I pray that you would guide them and show them your will. And then finally, Father, location. I know it's your will. Usually your people stay put in the church that they're in. But sometimes you have a special leading, and I hear that you are leading some people in this church to different places right now, Ukraine and other places, and I pray that you would lead your people where you want to have them, where they can serve you and have a fruitful ministry. All these things, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Dave.
I graduated from high school in 81, and so I watched Dave go through that process, and it I don't even know if I ever told him that, the impact that him making that decision made. His life and mine parallel a lot. Minus the cool car at 17. But the truth of it was, and when he, I remember sitting there as a kid and him saying, well, yeah, I was going to be a lawyer. And I'm going, oh, that's what I want to do. And then God touched me, and, you know, and that connection, there was so much of that parallel, but just that constant challenge to be obedient. What's God leading you to do? You know, when we saw those four calls, you know, that we've walked through, every single one of us could put ourselves on that list if we would just make it a grid. We're somewhere, you know. Yeah, God might not call you to go somewhere where you have to completely depend on that as your career, but I think God has called us to be full-time disciples of His and to serve Him with the gifts He's given, as David was mentioning, and where. That paralleled so well because I remember even coming to Hillside for me, I kind of had this really great opportunity, and it was going to be really comfy. And it was going to, for that time, I mean, 24 years ago, it was going to pay $50,000 to be an associate. I was like, ka-ching, you know. But that wasn't what God wanted. And so today, whether it's, as Dave mentioned, you may be here and you say, you know what, I don't have a relationship with God. I mean, I know about God. You just heard about the message of Christ, why Jesus came. But maybe you've never said, wow, I really need Him. There's a big difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. There's a big difference between knowing some stuff about the Bible and being a part of His family. And today you can just open your heart to Him and tell Him that, you know. In fact, right now, why don't we just take a moment? Because I want to give you, all of us, an opportunity to just take a look for, you know, inside for just a couple minutes and say, God, where am I? Do you know for certain that?